Well, hello there. This is Pastor Nate, Pastor Travis, and a very special guest, Pastor John, with us. This is Pearls and Swine. And yeah, we just like to get around a microphone and talk for a little bit about just anything, a specific topic. And Pastor Trav really wanted to talk about this idea of what do we do in conflict? How do we address conflict well? And what does it look like as Christians? Like, do we have to be, like, nice all the time? Do we have to, like, always be super gracious with people? Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I'm going to pass it on to Pastor Travis to start off because this was his heart for this week.
I was talking to somebody and they were saying about how they had a disagreement with a Christian in their past. And this was a while ago, but they were still hurt by it because they just had expected that, well, this person goes to church, so they just have to be nice to me. Like they weren't nice to this person in the argument, and it was a legitimate argument, but they expected that because they had the label Christian on them, that they should be nice and just,
like, nail themselves to the cross, right?
Yeah. And like, just bend over to their whim of whatever they wanted, whatever the argument was about, and see their point of view. Dude. Let's start
keep
over.
Going, man. No, that was fine.
I'm gonna have
keep
to
going.
Edit.
Keep going.
I'm gonna have to edit that. But just they expected the person that had the label Christian to be wishy-washy and just submit to whatever their point of view was because they felt that Christians had to be nice, they had to be loving, they had to be kind, all this stuff. And my take is slightly different. I think that, yeah, as Christians, you know, we are called to have love, patience, kindness with each other, with others also. But I don't necessarily think that the niceness or the anger part has to be eliminated from the equation either.
Yeah. Is it nice when you're in conflict? Is it really loving to have conflict with someone but would not resolve it? And that's, I think, the issue is you think that you're being nice, but really love would compel us to reconcile. And I think that, you know, I'm not a counselor, but that really feels like what we call passive aggressive, right? We're not resolving. We Minnesota. Want to avoid it.
Minnesota nice.
Yeah, we're you know, I mean,
whoa.
We sorry for our Minnesota listeners, but
I spent some time there, right? That's what you get. Especially on the roadways.
You know, but the issue, I mean, we're supposed to be known by our love. There's no doubt. First John, you can't get away from it. They'll know that we're Christians by our love. But love is not satisfied with unresolved conflict because that's not really loving. Love enters into that mess. And I think that one of the themes we've had recently is that reconciliation is always on the table. So how do we demonstrate the love that the Father has for us, the love that we have for the Father, if we allow anger, frustration, bitterness to exist without reconciling? I mean, that is, as hard as that is, that's an opportunity to see the Spirit of God move in a powerful, tangible way. And the end is love reconciles. Love does long suffer. Love is willing to endure. You know, but I think that sometimes we, you know, we put that little plaster on, like, well, it's loving if I don't conflict with you. No, there is going to be conflict. Love endures in conflict. Love overcomes that conflict because we're committed in love. Think about the love that the Father has for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Is not a love that looks past wrongs. It's a love that reconciles in those differences and says there has to be a measuring out of the difference, right? And that involves reconciliation. I think Christians demonstrate God's love when we reconcile.
And I think it depends on the situation. It could be dependent on the topic at hand, what the scenario is, of how it's played out. Like, as a dad, if my kid is running by the hot sauna stove or about to run into the road, I'm not going to be nice when I address that conflict within our lives. I'm going to yell. There's going to be some emotion behind that. But it's because I love them that I don't want them to get burned or smashed by a car, right?
So this is one of the great apologetic questions that we should be tolerant, right? We should be loving towards each other by not conflicting with other people with our narrow perspective of how we're supposed to live or how we're supposed to be in a relationship with God. So therefore, people who are antagonistic to the gospel of Jesus Christ say, you should just let me live however I want. That's love. In fact, that is not love. Love is exactly what you just said. Love is watching that child run out on the road and grabbing that child and pulling the child back and saying, no.
Chewing him
up. Right. Love. Love warns others that there is hardship coming. Love seeks for the benefit of those. And that's, you know, that's the benefit comes from reconciliation. So the question is, in every circumstance, is how does this situation lead to God being honored? And the conflict avoidance does not leave for an, doesn't leave room for God being honored in that situation.
No,
it basically puts us in the driver's seat of saying, well, yeah. I don't trust that God can resolve this. I don't trust that God can work in this situation. Therefore, I'll take control of it and I'll short circuit that process.
Yeah, and I think the gospel just really illustrates this well. And that Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? There was a conflict. There's a conflict that needed to be addressed. And so Jesus came to address that. He came to reveal the Father. In John 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I love that last description, full of grace and truth, because Jesus was full of grace, but he's also full of truth. Like, he had some hard things to say to the Pharisees, to the religious rulers, when he gets up into the temple and he's throwing over the money changers' table. Like, he is demonstrating truth and addressing problems that he's seeing. And yet, the tax collectors can come to him. The prostitutes can come to him. He has dinner with them, which is a big deal for Jews, to have, you know, sit in fellowship and have a meal with someone who is a known sinner. Jesus did that. Why? Because he was full of grace. But, you know, it just like we have to embrace the reality that we are sinners and our relationship with God is messed up. We have to do the same with our own conflicts. We can't just smooth them over like John, you're talking about. That's not love. Love is, I'm going out to restore this relationship. I'm going to confront with truth, but I'm going to pour grace all over this. One, because that's what God did for me. But the problem is, if you can't acknowledge the truth, right? This is the gospel 101. If you can't acknowledge that we have conflict, then there can't be any restoration possible. Truth must be like agreed on. It has to be established first.
The other issue, though, in this is what leads us to conflict. Mm-hmm. And I think especially in this era, we have a hypersensitivity to differences.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if some of the conflict that we have is a propulsion of our self-interest in that relationship. Like, I have to be right and you have to be wrong. And I see this as even in, you know, our families, our relationships, our politics. I'm right, you're wrong. I have to win, you have to lose. There has to be, and I think there the deciding factor of that is if either situation truly conflicts with what the scriptures say, then there is a right and wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also a propensity these days to walk around looking for an offense. And, you know, greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life, that he lays down my self-interest for another. And am I willing in the context of that relationship not to pretend it doesn't bother me? If there's something that bothers you, you need to air it out. But on the flip side is, are we inclined towards antagonism, towards our friends, our brothers and sisters, because that, Lord, if you're already walking around with the fuse lit, then before you even think about reconciling with your friends or your neighbors, whoever you're in conflict with, I think that's revealing a heart issue that we have. Like, is that how we want to be loved by God? Is that how God, that's not how God treats us. Remember, all of this love, all of this reconciliation is modeled off of this amazing example, the perfect example we have in Jesus. Jesus didn't walk around when he conflicted with the tax collectors and the sinner. That was after he had tried repeatedly to reveal himself and to say, you know, come, right? Follow me. See what I'm saying is true, right? They kept marveling, man, this is one who teaches with authority. Who is this rabbi that has this great? He was trying to reason with them. And it was only after they would continuously turn aside from him that he ended up making a whip, driving people out, you know, taking the Gentile portion of, you know, and turning that into a den of robbers. He was incensed that they would inhibit people from coming to understand the Father. So are we also, you know, are we long suffering? Are we loving? Or are we saying, well, you know, I'm just waiting for someone to step on my toes because I'm going to flash on them? Well, like, then
and that's a spiritual problem. Interesting point that you brought up there, kind of to backtrack a couple of comments where you talked about everything has to be in the right or wrong context. There always has to be a winner. There always has to be a loser. And I read an article just the other day about speaking about that with emotional maturity and the lack that there is in our culture today. Hmm. Everything has to be black and white. And they talked in that article that this same kind of principle, there has to be a right and wrong, winner, loser, always. Yeah, there has to be a right and wrong, but I think when you get to a place of emotional maturity, you can have conflicts and disagreements with each other and understand that there's some gray area. There's some room for maybe I'm the one that needs to grow in my understanding and express that love to that other person, because it's not a hill to die on issue. It could just be like, I was too easily offended in this, or maybe the other person was too easily offended. But it was just interesting that they talked about the emotional and spiritual maturity of that, and that for those of us that have some room to grow, when we try to get to that absolute point, we're really actually just trying to simplify everything so that we can have just this really easy laid out path in these issues. But don't get me wrong, there are some issues that are definitely black and white, and we need to view them that way.
Well, I think this comes kind of full circle in some ways, in which when we are trying to address conflict, it has to be in this idea of love and care for the other person. It can't be about, well, I just want to win, because that's not the point. And going back to the gospel, why did Jesus come? Well, to restore the relationship. Mm-hmm. He cared for us. And when you look at Matthew 18, if your brother sins, go to him and tell him his fault. But the idea is you want to gain your brother. You want to restore that relationship. It isn't to like, oh, you're wrong. Like, right. That's not the point. The point is to help restore the relationship, help someone get out of this path of destruction.
Mm-hmm. To live in
or
peace.
Whatever. Yeah. And so, you know, when we are so quickly to be offended, and scripture talks about that, we need to be slow to be offended.
Quick to listen.
Quick to listen. And hear. Maybe someone has some information that we need that we are just blind to, right? Something that we have overlooked in our own hearts that they can point out, that they can lead us closer to God. Like, we should be looking for those opportunities. And so sometimes when we have these conflicts and stuff, instead of looking at, oh, I need to win the argument, allowing it to be an opportunity for God to really speak into our lives or for us to speak into someone else's life. I think it's that mindset that needs to change, where really we're trying to be instruments of grace so that people can draw closer to our Lord. And when you look at Matthew 18, it's kind of this procedure on how to go about conflict, right?
Right.
And it's so beautiful because the idea is when the person acknowledges that there was sin, there's just grace that's upon them.
But you've just highlighted, just back up just a little bit. You're saying we need to communicate with God. We need to communicate with other people in essence that way. You know, and I think that is two places in every conflict that I've seen that goes poorly.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we're not communicating effectively with God. Are we entering conflict with an attitude of submission? One of our phrases in our life group right now is tenacious submission. Tenacious, like we are submitted to the Father. We are submitted to the Father. The Father's will be done. How do we come under the authority of the Father? How do we allow the Spirit just to have that complete submission to the Spirit, that He guides us, mm-hmm. that He illuminates the Word to us, that He really does that work in us first as we're being transformed and renewed in our hearts. Then we have this attitude of communicating with others. And I don't think we're good at communicating. And I think almost all conflict that goes awry, if you come back to the beginning of that conflict, there is broken communication. Mm-hmm. And I said, and you're not listening to me. I said, and you're just, you know, you just don't want to listen. You don't want to hear what I have. And like, no, wait a second. Communication. Like, yeah. First of all, are you speaking in love? And second of all, like, are you, how, I say communication is verbal and nonverbal messaging. Yeah. And it's cyclical. And it comes back. So
from the point of the I said, or there's assumptions that I know you're going to respond a certain way, so I'm not going to engage or offer this communication piece up to you, or we could get through this, or we can make the waters muddy. Here's a question I have for you guys. Is there a time that it's appropriate to tap out or walk away?
I think this is like disciplining your children, right? And we were taught to discipline our children. This comes back to some of the focus on the family. James Dobson says, if you find that your discipline is in anger, you need to disengage. Mm-hmm. You need to go and you need to spend some time cooling down, praying, and then you need to come back so your discipline can be in love. And I think if you're in the middle of this conflict and you're just angry and you're not loving that person at that time, what's coming out of your mouth is not going to be constructive. It's going to be hurtful. And so I think at that point, but I need to think that, again, there has to be a communication. There has to be a language here. Mm-hmm. What I'm feeling in my heart right now is not what I really feel towards you. I love you. But what I'm saying, I feel like in my heart, what I'm communicating with you right now is contrary to what I really feel for you. And so as much as I want to resolve this, as much as I really do desire that we reconcile this, I just need to tap out right now. Mm-hmm. Because if we continue down this path, this is going to get more and more destructive. And I think that comes back to what you were saying, a spiritual and emotional maturity. I know where this is going and I don't want it to go here. I mean, I've experienced this even recently in some of my close relationships where I recognize that what I have said and the way that I've said it has demonstrated something contrary to what I really feel in my heart. Mm. And then I walk away from those encounters and like, I hurt because I'm in conflict, but what I really hurt from is that even in conflict, I want that person never to question. And this is just what the Father, I never want to question that I love you. Hmm. And if what's coming out of my mouth is conveying a message other than we disagree and we need to resolve this, but never doubt that I love you. That's the message of the Father. Mm-hmm. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. The righteous for the unrighteous. And that's right. And that's just got to be. So I think we tap out. I think at that point, if what you're doing is mm-hmm. just throwing fuel on the fire and you're speaking from a sense of bitterness and anger, when it gets to anger is never the godly answer, right? But mm-hmm. there is such thing as godly anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is when people malign God's love, God's truth. And that's not what's happening in these relationships, really. What's happening here is pride, yep. ego, right, sure. is rising up. And I'm trying to win and I'm getting angry and anger. Anger is one of those, like, is anger the antithesis of love? Ego is the antithesis of love for others. And how it manifests itself, I think, is in anger sometimes. And I don't know. I'll leave it up to you guys, but I think we tap out at that point.
I'm in total agreement with you, and I just wanted to see your take on it. Like, that kind of reminds me of the Paul and Barnabas situation, right, in Acts, mm-hmm. yeah, where they get in the fight over
Peter.
Mark.
I'm sorry, John Mark.
Yeah, right. John Mark. And God works through that disagreement, even though it got so harsh that they had to separate ways. That's the beauty of the gospel.
But they reconcile.
Right.
Because by 2 Timothy, he says, bring John Mark to me because he's valuable. Yep. And that's the thing is, if you're going to tap out, it can't be like, well, I'm going to tap out, we're going to avoid this.
And completely cut off.
Right. Yeah, you got John Mark, somewhere in there, we don't have it, but John Mark became reconciled and there was value in my dying days, bring me the parchments and get John Mark and bring them to me because he is a blessing. He's a part of what I'm doing.
Yep. And so God, I mean, God can work how God works. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of grace. But it has to come back together, right? You can't tap out and walk away.
So can God, can the gospel be displayed in conflict? I mean, that's really to me, like, and I think if we're not able through the process of conflict, communication, resolution, reconciliation, that has to be at the end of it, the gospel is seen in that. And I think that as a Christian, sure, that's a part of how we love.
Absolutely.
Excellent. That was a good discussion. We'll have to do this again in the next week or so. Thanks for listening. And if ever you want to contact us, feel free to contact us. We've just been giving out Travis's email. So email Travis at travis@evangelhotan.org. And like I said, we'll see you next week.